All right. Manasa Deha Geho Jogi Shudo Mo Arpilum Tua Pade Nanda Kisho Manasa Deha Geho Jogi Kisho Mo Apilo tua pade Nanda Kisho Sampare Vepare Jivane Marine Daya Mama Gela Tua Varane Sambare Vipare Jivane Marane Doya Moma Gela Tua O Parvarane Marube Rakko be jo ichato ara icha dasa prati tu ara adhikara maro be rakko be jo ichato ara Nitya dasa prati tua adhikara Janma vi moi vi nitya jarito Bhakta kriya jani janma hoi mo Janma vi mavi icha jarito ra bhakta grihe janne janma hoi imora kicha janma hoi vi jata to a dalas bahirmukha brahma janme nahi ashasya kita janma hoi gi jata to a dalas bahirmukha brahma janme Nahi asha Mukti Mukti spriya Vihina jayvakta Loboete Tako sangha Anurakta Mukti Mukti spriya Vihina yevakta Lavoete Tako sangha Anurakta Janaka Janani Doita Tanaya Prabhu Guru Tu sarva maya janaka janani doita tanaya Prabhu Guru Patitu Savamoya. Makati Vinod Kohei Shuno Kana Radhanapa Tun Hamara Purana. Pakati Vino Kohe Shuno Kana Radhanatha Tun Hamara Purana. Manasa Deha Deha Nyokishumor Arpiru Tua Padevi Nandakishor. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Chila Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Chila Prabhupada, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravitakacharya Ostateta Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace Kabaya Chananada Bhaktivananda Gosami Maharishila Prabhupada Gijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Gijai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Gijai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Gijai Prem Se Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivan Nigajai Shishi Radha Krishna Gopi Govardhan Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Gijai Vrindavanam Gijai Maturam Gijai Jagannatha Swami Gijai Yamunamai Gijai Srimati Lalasa Devi Gijai Samaveda Bhaktivan Nigajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Gijai, Nama Om, Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Vudale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani, Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravadi Pacharani, Nivasesha Srinivadi, Paschacha, Deshatarani. So let me read the translation. My mind, body, and family, whatever may be mine, I have surrendered at your lotus feet, O youthful son of Nanda. In good fortune or bad, in life or death, all my difficulties have disappeared by choosing those feet of yours as my only shelter. Slay me or protect me as you wish, for you are my master and I am your eternal servant. If it is your will that I be born again, then may it be in the home of a devotee. May I be born again, even as a worm, so long as I remain your devotee. I have no desire to be born even as many-headed Lord Brahma, if averse to you. I yearn for the company of that devotee who is completely devoid of all desire for worldly enjoyment or liberation. Father, mother, lover, son, Lord, preceptor, and husband, you are my everything. Thakur Bhaktivinoda says, hear me, O Kana, Krishna. O Lord of Radha, you are my life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Jai. Very nice. So, we're going to continue with our study of the Krishna book, and we're talking about the chapter today, 46, I believe is the number, pacified the gopis and the other residents of Vrindavan, because Krishna has not yet come back. Very, very important chapter. So, Omagana Timirandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master's divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, let's go on to Krishna book. We'll share the screen. All right. Uddhava visits Vrindavan, chapter 46. Let me just get things set up here. The screen properly set up. And then we'll be ready to start. One second. All right. Okay. Hold on a second. Let me expand the screen a little bit. Okay, chapter 46, Uddhava visits Vrindavana. Dana Maharaj returned to Vrindavan without Krishna and Balaram. He was accompanied only by the coward boys and men. It was certainly a very pathetic scene for the gopis, Mali, Yashoda, Srimati Radharani, and all residents of Vrindavan. Many devotees have tried to make adjustments to Krishna's being away from Vrindavan because, according to Ali Gaudit, never goes even a step out of Vrindavan. He always remains there. The explanation that expert devotees give is that Krishna was actually not absent from Vrindavan. He came back with Nanda Maharaj as promised. Or Krishna never left Vrindavan, but he wasn't manifest. So, Prakata. So when Krishna was starting for Mathura on the chariot, and the gopis were blocking the way, Krishna assured them that he was coming back just after finishing his business in Mathura. When he failed, it appeared either or not. Everybody's, however, decided that Krishna is neither a cheater nor a breaker of promises. Krishna and his original identity returned with Nanda Maharaj and stayed with the gopis of Mother Yashoda in his Bhava expansion. So Bhava, emotional expansion. Krishna and Balaram remained in Mathura, not in their original forms, but in their expansions as Vasudev and Sankarsana. So this is what we talked about before, that Krishna outside of Vrindavan was Vasudev Krishna, and even inside Vrindavan, when Krishna killed the demons, he did that with his Vasudev expansion. The real Krishna and Balaram were in Vrindavan in their Bhava manifestation, whereas in Mathura they appeared in the Prabhava and Vaibhava expansions. This is the expert opinion of advanced devotees of Krishna. Externally, however, they were absent from Vrindavan. Therefore, when Nanda Maharaj was preparing to return to Vrindavan, there was some discussion between him and the boys concerning how they could live in separation. The conclusion to separate was reached by mutual agreement. Vasudeva and Devaki, who happened to be the real parents of Krishna and Balaram, wanted to keep them now because of the death of Kamsa. While Kamsa was alive, Krishna and Balaram were kept under the protection of Nanda Maharaj and Vrindavan. Now, naturally, the father and mother of Krishna and Balaram wanted them to remain, specifically for the reformatory function of purification, the sacred thread ceremony. Excuse me. They also wanted to give them a proper education, for this is the duty of the father. Another consideration was that all the friends of Kamsa outside Mathura were planning to attack Mathura. For that reason, also Krishna's presence was required. Krishna did not want Vrindavan disturbed by the enemies like Dantavakra and Jarasandha. If Krishna would go to Vrindavan, these enemies would not only attack Mathura, but would go on to Vrindavan, and the peaceful inhabitants of Vrindavan would be disturbed. Krishna therefore decided to remain in Mathura, and Nanda Maharaj went back to Vrindavana. Although the inhabitants of Vrindavana felt separation from Krishna, the resulting ecstasy bhava caused them to perceive that Krishna was always present with them by his lila or pastimes. Since Krishna had departed from Vrindavana and gone to Mathura, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, especially Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Srimati Radharani, the gopis and the cowherd boys, were simply thinking of Krishna at every step. They were thinking, here Krishna was playing in his way. Here Krishna was blowing on his flute. Krishna was joking with us in this way, and Krishna was embracing us like this. This is called Lila Smarana, and is the process of association with Krishna most recommended by great devotees. Even Lord Chaitanya, when he was at Puri, enjoyed Lila Smarana association with Krishna. That means remembering the pastimes of Krishna. Those in the most exalted position of devotional service and ecstasy can live with Krishna always by remembering his pastimes. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has given us a transcendental literary work entitled Krishna Bhavanamrita, which is full with Krishna's pastimes. Exalted devotees can remain absorbed in Krishna thought by reading such books. Any book of Krishna Lila, even this book Krishna, or our teachings of Lord Chaitanya, is actually solace for devotees feeling separation from Krishna. That Krishna and Balaram did not return to Vrindavan can be adjusted as follows. They did not break their promise to return to Vrindavan, nor were they absent, but their presence was necessary in Mathura. In the meantime, Uddhava, a cousin brother of Krishna's, came to see Krishna from Dwarka. He was the son of Vasudeva's brother. Here's the relationship. So Uddhava was the son of Vasudeva's brother. And was almost the same age as Krishna. Early features resemble Krishna's almost exactly. After Krishna returned from his teacher's home, he was pleased to see Uddhava, who happened to be his dearmost friend. Krishna wanted to send him to Vrindavan with a message to the residents to pacify their deep feelings of separation. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 4.11, Yayata mam prapajante tam sataiva bhajamyam. Krishna is very responsive. He responds in proportion to the devotee's advancement in devotional service. Thus, as the gopis were thinking of Krishna in separation 24 hours a day, so Krishna was also thinking of the gopis, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, and the other residents of Vrindavan. Although he appeared to be away from them, he could understand how they were transcendentally aggrieved. And so immediately he wanted to send Uddhava to give them a message of solace. Now, of course, if they're engaged in Lila Smarana, and if they're also engaged in feeling separation from Krishna, and also looking at all the different places that remind them of Krishna, they're with Krishna, and also chanting his holy names. They're with Krishna. That's called the bhava expansion. You know, the emotionally, they're with Krishna. And the interesting thing about separation, where you don't see Krishna with your eyes or hear him directly with your ears, is it actually brings you closer because it's much more intense. The bhava is much more intense. The emotion is much more intense. So therefore, it's described about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan that they worshipped Krishna in that particular mood. Hey, Radhe, Braja Devike. Hey, Nanda, Shuno Kuta. Oh, Radharani. Hey, Radhe, Braja Devike. O goddess of Vrindavan. Hey, Nanda, Shuno. Nanda Shuno is Krishna, of course. Kutaha, where are you? And it's described they were actually running around or searching all the time for Krishna. I mean, once in a while there are stories that Krishna manifested himself in different ways, such as when he provided the different Radharani provided the different milk products to Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, to cook something for Sanatana Goswami, such as when Krishna was protecting Raghunath Das Goswami from the tigers by holding his staff up and holding a stick. And so there's some instances of when Madhavendra Puri was first in Vrindavan, and Krishna came and gave him some kheer. So from time to time, Krishna sometimes would give the devotees a little peek, the Goswamis at least. Now, I have not experienced that little peak yet. So Uddhava is described as the most exalted personality in the Rishni dynasty, almost equal to Krishna. He was a great friend of Krishna's, and being the direct student of Brihaspati, the teacher and priest of the heavenly planets, he was very intelligent and sharp in decision. Intellectually, he was highly qualified. Krishna, being his very loving friend, wanted to send him to Vrindavan just to study the highly elevated ecstatic devotional service practice there. Even if one is highly elevated in material education and is even the disciple of Brihaspati, he still has to learn from the gopis and the other residents of Vrindavan how to love Krishna to the highest degree. It was Krishna's special favor to Uddhava to send him to Vrindavan with a message for the residents there, which was meant to pacify them. Now, it's interesting. I was reading in the Gopal Champu and some of the other literatures that generally the only person who wears the Kastuba Mani, that's the jewel, is Krishna. And his various expansions, Vishnu Tattva expansions. But sometimes it's described that Krishna was so close to Uddhava that he would give Uddhava this Kastuba Mani to wear. I mean, that's the type of close, intimate relationship. And Krishna would take advice from Uddhava. Uddhava never left Krishna's side. And the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Narada Muni is looking for Uddhava, he's told by everybody that Uddhava is always with Krishna. So that's a wonderful relationship. And of course, when he goes to Vrindavan and he sees the gopis' love, at that point, as we're going to read, he appreciates the gopis' love so much that he prays to become blades of grass or dust in Vrindavan so he can be touched by the gopis' feet. And this is Uddhava's exalted position. There's a place right next to Giriraj called Uddhava Kund. And this is the place where Uddhava is supposed to reside as grass. And there's a temple of Radha and Krishna called Radha Uddhava Vihari. So it's not that there is a deity of Uddhava there, but Uddhava Vihari, that means that basically Radha and the person who's connected with Uddhava, which is Krishna. I mean, sometimes Krishna is described in terms of his relationship with other personalities, like Nanda Nandana, Yashoda Nandana, etc., like that. Well, we were reading in Bhagavatam class this morning, Krishna is sometimes described as the younger brother of Ananta or Balaram. So Krishna likes it very much. Prabhupada said Krishna likes it more when he is being named or described in terms of his relationship or relationships with pure devotees or devotee. So being very anxious, Lord Chaitanya states there cannot be any time a worship as exalted as that realized by the gopis. Being very anxious about the gopis' grief, Krishna talked with Uddhava and politely requested him to go to Vrindavan. Shaking Uddhava's hand with his own hands, he said, "My dear, gentle friend Uddhava, please go immediately to Vrindavan and try to pacify my father and mother, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi and the gopis. They are grief-stricken, as if suffering from great ailments. Go and give them a message. I hope their ailments will be partially relieved. The gopis are always absorbed in thoughts of me. They have dedicated body, desire, life, and soul to me. I am anxious not only for gopis, but for anyone who sacrifices society, friendship, love, and personal comforts for me. It is my duty to protect such exalted devotees. The gopis are the most dear. They always think of me in such a way that they remain overwhelmed and almost dead in anxiety due to separation from me. They are keeping alive simply by thinking that I'm returning to them very soon. Requested by Lord Krishna, Uddhava immediately left on his chariot and carried the message to Gokula. He approached Vrindavan at sunset when the cows were returning home from the pasturing ground. Uddhava and his chariot were covered by the dust raised by the hooves of the cows. He saw bulls running after cows for mating. Other cows with overladen milk bags were running after their calves to feed them with milk. Uddhava saw that the entire land of Vrindavan was filled with white cows and their calves, running here and there all over Gokula, and he could hear the sound of milking. And these white cows, they're Surabhi cows, of course, they're so beautiful. And they have eyes, not round eyes, they're like lotus eyes. And not only do they have lotus eyes, but on top of their eyes, you know, eyebrows, on top of the eyebrows, there's actually gopi dots. Little gopi dots. I mean, it's quite amazing. So whenever I go to Braj, Vrindavan, Govardhan, I just go up to these cows and I just scratch them and serve them in whatever way I can. That's why go seva is so important in Braj, especially in Braj, and actually everywhere, because the cows are very dear to Krishna, but especially in Braj to serve the cows. Every residential house in Vrindavan was decorated for the worship of the sun god and the fire god and for the reception of guests, cows, brahmanas, and demigods. Every home was sanctified by lights and incense. All over Vrindavan there were nice gardens filled with flowers and the sounds of hummingbees and singing birds. The lakes were filled with lotus flowers and with ducks and swans. Uddhava entered the house of Nanda Maharaj and was received as a representative of Vasudeva. That's Krishna, of course. Nanda Maharaj offered him a sitting place and sat down with him to ask about messages from Krishna, Balaram, and other family members in Mathura. Nanda could understand that Uddhava was a very confidential friend of Krishna's, and therefore he must have come with good messages. "My dear Uddhava," he said, "how is my friend Vasudeva enjoying life? He is now released from the prison of Kamsa, and he is now with his friends and his children, Krishna and Balaram. So he must be very happy. Tell me about him and his welfare. We are also very happy that Kamsa, the most sinful demon, has been killed. He was always envious of the family of the Yadavas, his relatives. Now, because of his sinful activities, he is dead and gone, along with all his brothers." Now, one thing is, yes, ostensibly, it seemed that Kamsa was actually a Yadav. And, you know, externally, it seemed like that. But really, he wasn't? Why is that? Because Kamsa's mother was Ugrasena's wife, whose name was Padmavati. Okay, got that straight. So Ugrasena's wife, Padmavati. So why wasn't Kamsa a son of Ugrasena? Now you can pose that question. What do you mean he's not a Yadu? Well, is an inside story told by the Acharyas. Once upon a time, there was a demon, and his name was Drumila. And Drumila took the form. He made himself appear through his demoniac mystic powers. He made himself appear as Ugrasena. And he went to Padmavati, who was very young at that time and extremely beautiful, and had a relationship with her. And out of that relationship, that conjugation, came Kamsa. So he's not really the son of Ugrasena. He's the son, of course, of Padmavati and Drumila. So That's why I say he's not really a Yadu. Interesting. Although Padmavati might have been connected with the Yadu family, but he's not connected in the same way as an actual son of Ugrasena would have been. Please let us know whether Krishna now remembers his father and mother and his friends and companions in Vrindavan. Does he like to remember his cows, his gopis, his Govardhan Hill, his pasturing grounds in Vrindavan? Or has he forgotten all these? Is there any possibility of his coming back to his friends and relatives so that we can again see his beautiful face with its raised nose and lotus-like eyes? We remember how he saved us from the forest fire and how he saved us from the great snake Kalia and the Yamuna and how he saved us from so many other demons. And we simply think of how much we are obliged to him for giving us protection in many dangerous situations. My dear Uddhava, when we think of Krishna's beautiful face and eyes and his different activities here in Vrindavan, we become so overwhelmed that all our activities cease. We simply think of Krishna, how he used to smile and how he looked upon us with grace. When we go to the banks of the Yamuna or the lakes of Vrindavana or near Govardhan Hill or the pasturing fields, we see that the impressions of Krishna's footprints are still on the surface of the earth. We remember him playing in those places because he was constantly visiting them. When his appearance within our minds becomes manifest, we immediately become absorbed in thoughts of him. We think, therefore, that Krishna and Balaram may be chief demigods in heaven who have appeared before us like ordinary boys to execute particular duties on earth. This was foretold by Gargamuni when making Krishna's horoscope. If Krishna were not a great personality, how could he have killed Kamsa, who possessed the strength of 10,000 elephants? Besides Kamsa, there were the very strong wrestlers, as well as the giant elephant Kuvalaya Pita. Krishna killed all these animals and demons just as a lion kills an ordinary animal. How wonderful it is that Krishna took in one hand the big heavy bow made of 3 joined palm trees and broke it very quickly. How wonderful it is that for 7 days continuously he held up Govardhan Hill with one hand. How wonderful it is that he has killed all the demons like Palambasura, Danakasura, Arishtasura, Trinavarta, and Pakasura. They were so strong that even the demigods in the heavenly planets were afraid of them. But Krishna killed them all as easily as anything. While describing the uncommon activities of Krishna before Uddhava, Nanda Maharaj gradually became overwhelmed and could no longer speak. As for Mother Yashoda, she sat by the side of her husband and heard the pastimes of Krishna without speaking. She simply cried incessantly, and milk poured from her breasts. When Uddhavasara and Maharaj Nanda and Yashoda so extraordinarily overwhelmed with thoughts of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and when he experienced their extraordinary affection for him, he also became overwhelmed and spoke as follows. My dear Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, you are the most respectable among human beings because no one but you can meditate in such a transcendental ecstasy. Uddhava continued, Balaram and Krishna are the original personalities of Godhead from whom the cosmic manifestation emanates. They are chief among all personalities. Each of them is both the material and efficient cause of this material creation. Material cause means like the raw materials, the pradana, which is the unmanifest state of the material world. An efficient cause is when the Lord, as the Mahavishnu, looks at this pradana and causes the souls to be implanted within the pradana. That's called Shambhu. And then the variegatedness into the different material elements occurs, and then the subsequent creation. Material nature is conducted by the Purusha incarnations, that's Mahavishnu, Gaurilakshya Vishnu, and Shivalakshya Vishnu, who all act under Krishna and Balaram. By their partial representation, they enter the hearts of all living entities. They are the source of all knowledge and forgetfulness also. This is confirmed by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter. I am present in everyone's heart, and I cause one to remember and forget. I am the original compiler of the Vedanta, and I am the actual knower of the Vedas. Sarvashacham Riti Sanavishto Matak Smriti of Yanama Bhavanam Cha Vedais Cha Sadar Hum Eva Vedu Vedanta Krit Veda Ved Eva Cha Hum. Uddhava continued, if at the time of death a person can fix his pure mind upon Krishna, even for a moment, after giving up his material body, he becomes eligible to appear in his original spiritual body just as the sun rises with all illumination. Passing from his life in this way, he immediately enters into the spiritual kingdom, Vaikuntha. This is the result of Krishna conscious practice. If we practice Krishna consciousness in this present body, while in a healthy condition and in good mind, simply by chanting the holy Maha Mantra Hare Krishna, we will have every possibility of fixing the mind upon Krishna at the time of death. If we do this, then our lives become successful without any doubt. But if we keep our minds always absorbed in fruitive activities for material enjoyment, then naturally at the time of death, we shall think of such activities and again be forced to enter material conditioned bodies to suffer the threefold miseries of material existence. Therefore, to remain always absorbed in Krishna consciousness was the standard of the inhabitants of Vrindavan as exhibited by Maharaj Nanda, Yashoda, and the gopis. If we can simply follow in their footsteps, even to a minute proportion, our lives will surely become successful and we shall enter the spiritual kingdom by Kuntha. My dear Mother Yashoda, Ananda Maharaj, Uddhava continued, you have thus fixed your minds wholly and solely upon that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, whose transcendental form is the cause of the impersonal Brahman. The Brahman effulgence is only the bodily rays of Narayana. And because you are always absorbed in ecstatic thought of Krishna and Balaram, what pious activity remains for you to perform? I have brought a message from Krishna that he will very soon come back to Vrindavan and satisfy you by his personal presence. Krishna promised that he would come back to Vrindavan after finishing his business in Mathura. This promise he will surely fulfill. I therefore request the two of you, who are the best among all who are fortunate, not to be aggrieved on account of Krishna's absence. You are already perceiving his presence 24 hours a day, yet he will come and see you very soon. Actually, he is present everywhere and in everyone's heart, just as fire is present in wood. Since Krishna is the super soul, he regards everyone equally. He sees no one as his enemy, no one as his friend, and no one is lower or higher than him. He actually has no father, mother, brother, or relative, nor does he desire or require society, friendship, and love. He does not have a material body like us. He never appears or takes birth like an ordinary human being. He does not appear in higher or lower species of life like ordinary living entities or forced to take birth on account of their previous fruitive activities. In other words, he can appear in different bodies that may look like their different species of life, but as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Jopisam Bhagavatim Sama Dishtaya Sambhavami Maya, that he always comes in the same transcendental body. Not in, he is his same transcendental body. There's no duality. He is his body. His body is him. And so it's always the same person, but he just manifests himself to our vision differently. He appears by his internal potency just to give protection to his devotees. He is never influenced by the modes of material nature, but when he appears within this material world, he seems to act like an ordinary living entity under the spell of the modes of material nature. But in fact, he is the overseer of this material creation, and while remaining unaffected by the material modes of nature, he creates, maintains, and dissolves the whole cosmic manifestation. We wrongly look upon Krishna and Balaram as ordinary human beings, just as the whirling men see the whole world whirling around them. And you can try that, like if you go round and round, round, round in circles, it appears like the world is turning. The personality of Godhead is no one's son. He is actually everyone's father, mother, and supreme controller. There's no doubt of this. whatever is already being experienced, whatever is not being experienced, whatever already exists, does not exist, or will exist in the future, whatever is the smallest and whatever is the biggest have no existence outside the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything rests in Him, but He is untouched by everything manifested. Wow. Nanda and Uddhava thus passed the whole night discussing Krishna. In the morning, the gopis prepared for morning aarti by lighting their lamps and sprinkling butter mixed with yogurt. After finishing their Mangal aarti, they engaged themselves in churning butter from yogurt. While the gopis were thus engaged, the lamps reflected on their ornaments made the ornaments still brighter. Their churning rods, their arms, their earrings, their bangles, their breasts, everything moved, and kumkum powder gave their faces a saffron luster compared to the rising sun. While making sounds by churning, they also sang the glories of Krishna. The two sound vibrations mixed together ascended to the sky and sanctified the whole atmosphere. It's very poetic. After sunrise, the gopis came as usual to offer their respects to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. But when they saw the golden chariot of Uddhava at the door, they began to inquire among themselves, what was that chariot and to whom did it belong? Some of them inquired whether Akrura, who had taken away Krishna, had returned. They were not very much pleased with Akrura because being engaged in the service of Kamsa, he had taken lotus-eyed Krishna away to the city of Mathura. All the gopis conjectured that Akrura might have come to fulfill another cruel plan. But they thought, we are now dead bodies without our Supreme Master, Krishna. What further act can Akrura perpetrate against these dead bodies? While they were talking in this way, Uddhava finished his morning ablutions, prayers, and chanting, and came before them. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 46th chapter of Krishna. Uddhava visits Vrindavan. Now, I wanted to end here. The reason is the next chapter is extremely heavy. So I think it's really important that we start the next chapter tomorrow by Krishna's grace. So let me stop sharing and then we can take some questions for a few minutes. Give you more time to ask questions. And I'll allow you to unmute yourselves. I mean, there's really amazing pastimes. And as we're reading, we should picture ourselves not precisely as pure devotees in Vrindavan, but picture ourselves watching this in our mind's eye. Use your imagination. You should see Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, Uddhava, and the discussions that they're having, and they're Yashoda Mai crying, tears pouring from her eyes like torrents of rain, feeling separation from her most beloved son, Krishna. Okay, so now you're allowed to ask questions. You can type in the chat window, or you can raise your hand and unmute yourself. Hrishikesh, you have a question.
I read about Balaram, called Balaram, so meeting Vrindavan. So, did he listen before Uddhava or after Uddhava?
It's hard to understand you because you're walking with your phone. It's impossible to understand you. She said something about Balaram.
Yeah, Lord Balaram.
Try again. Yes.
Did he visit Vrindavan before Uddhava? Before Uddhava or after Uddhava?
After Uddhava. He visited Vrindavan after Uddhava visited Vrindavan. Uddhava was first. And Uddhava Uddhava tells the gopis that Krishna's coming back, and Balaram says the same thing. And both of them were mortified that Krishna didn't go back. So that's the answer to that question. All right, who else has a question about these deep emotional exchanges between Krishna's devotees or about Uddhava's position? Does anybody have a question? Oh my God. All right, if no one has questions, I guess we end a little early tonight.
Accept my obeisances for the
Well, we got Hrishikesh still trying to make his way. It's really hard to understand you, Hrishikesh. So let's let Gopal. No, Hrishikesh, you're coming. Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. So Uddhava is such an advanced devotee, he would understand all of the intricacies and nuances of the different rasas. So why is it that when he was speaking with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, he described Krishna and Balaram as the supreme personalities of Godhead, which would conceivably disrupt their intimate understanding of him?
Well, he's trying to pacify them. That's why. Because they were in such emotional pain, he's describing their God. So that's why.
So out of love and compassion for Nanda
Right?
Maharaj and Yashoda, they're
Compassion.
that's fine.
Yeah, he's
Thank you,
trying to bring
Guruji.
them to like a different, at least temporarily, to different understanding. But of course, he's unsuccessful. So, all right, who else has a question? Anybody else have a question? I thought Gaura Hari was asking a question, maybe not. Okay, Gaura Hari, you have a question?
Please accept my obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada Maharaj. I have a questions concerning two concepts. One is control, and the other one is intelligence. I think you mentioned something yesterday about control and intelligence. That you pretty much said that they were like equal things or similar things, and I didn't catch that part.
No, Prabhupada said that the super soul and the intelligence are like this. Now, the intelligence is a manifestation of the form direction of the super soul. Now, remember this example in the Bhagavad Gita to further explain intelligence, that the body is a chariot compared to a chariot, and the horses of the chariot, they're compared to the five senses, they're five horses. The reins are compared to the mind, and the driver is compared to the intelligence, and the passenger is the soul. So the intelligence looks at, let us say, more of the long-term goals of a person, whereas the mind is accepting and rejecting things based upon what we call impulses, either its own impulses or the impulses that are coming from the senses. So the intelligence knows the right thing if you're Krishna conscious. But if you're not Krishna conscious, if you don't want to be Krishna conscious, then Krishna will supply you with intelligence that will pull you away from him. Now, why would he do that? Yayatamam prapajante tamsataiva bhajamyaham mamavartman. So that means that Krishna's reciprocating. And as you approach him, he approaches you. You don't want to approach him, then he says, "All right, here's the facility: intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness, matak smritir, gyanam aponam cha, according to your desire." So, intelligence means basically the super soul reciprocating with your desire to give you the long-term term direction of what you really want to do. That's interesting. So it's the driver of the chariot. Okay? That hopefully makes sense. And so using the intelligence, you control the lower self. The intelligence is the higher self, and the lower self is the mind and the senses. So you know what is to be done. And also, as we were talking last night, or yesterday's class, was based upon the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you have this famous verse about contemplating sense objects, jayato vishak pumsam, sangustesha pajayate, sangat sanjayate, kama, kama krodha vijayate. That from contemplating sense objects, one gets attached, one gets lusty, one gets angry, one gets bewilderment of memory, etc. And ultimately loses everything and he's lost. So, therefore, using intelligence, we know not to contemplate a sense object that will take away our intelligence. Avritam gyaname tena gyanino nityavairina. So when you start to contemplate something that, and you become attached to it, then you lose your higher direction in life. You forget about it. You throw caution to the winds. I'll give you an example. Let's take our friend Viswamitra Muni. So Viswamitra Muni was meditating with the idea of becoming a Brahma Rishi. So as he was meditating, then Indra sent down Menaka. Menaka is the celebrated society girl, and he succumbed to Menaka. So anyway, because he contemplated on her. That's interesting, isn't it? He contemplated, he just like pulled his senses in. Guess what would have happened? He would have not fallen down from the spiritual path. Of course, at the same time, it was Krishna's plan so that she would have a relationship with him, and then ultimately Shakuntala would be born. And Shakuntala would marry King Dushmanta, and then they would have as a son, Bart. So anyway, there's that whole story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, yes, so he should have not focused, but he didn't pull his senses in, and he wasn't really a devotee at that time. He didn't have a higher taste. So as soon as he heard her ankle bells, as soon as he saw her face, as soon as he smelled her fragrance, then that was it, buddy. He lost it. So the whole idea is don't contemplate or else you will lose your intelligence and fall down again into the material whirlpool. In other words, you should always be thinking, according to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's surrendering principles, what is favorable for Krishna consciousness and what is unfavorable, and reject those things unfavorable and accept those things favorable. So like if you see something and you want it, just think, is this favorable for my ultimate objective in life, which is hopefully becoming Krishna conscious, or is this unfavorable for my ultimate objective in life? So that's intelligence there. Hopefully, that's a good explanation of intelligence. Wow. Hopefully, everyone understood.
Got it.
So,
thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. So, does anyone else have any questions? If not, we're almost at time. So, thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Hopefully, we'll see you all tomorrow, same time, same station. Hari Bol.